You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment. The AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California. Presented by Maria Menounos and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is AfterBuzz TV's Downton Abbey After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Downton Abbey After Show.
Okay, welcome everybody. Thank you for joining us for another AfterBuzz TV After Show for Downton Abbey Season 4, Episode 8, the finale for this particular series. And unless you're watching in America, because we're not exactly sure how they're going to break it up in America. But for the most part, let's just get into it. I'm John Comerford, and I'm joined on the panel by
Courtney Stewart. Hello, everybody.
And Tamara Berg. Hey, everybody.
And helming in the booth is Stephen Lemieux. Say hi, Stephen.
Hey, guys.
All right, so lots happening, obviously, because it's a 90-minute episode for us here. We had, Downton goes bizarre. Moseley makes a friend. Edith gets set to go abroad. What else happens? Oh, yes, Mary gets wooed and cooed by a desire of suitable suitors. And let's start with the Anne and Bates Green storyline. That's where we left off last week. In fact, we had a lot of people on the blogosphere not happy with this particular episode.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't feel very fulfilled at the end of it.
Well, we know why.
Yeah. Because there was no,
unfortunate hunting accident.
That's right.
Right. And, you know, I think we talked a little bit last week about how are they going to do this? Is this the finale or is this Christmas special a finale? And in past series, they have created a finale and then the Christmas special
was separate,
standalone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think we all talked about how we weren't sure if they were going to be able to wrap everything up
in
this episode. And indeed, they only kind of wrapped it up.
They didn't even wrap it up.
No,
for me.
I mean, they just, well, and I think your assertion was they can't have it sitting over our heads for 6 weeks waiting.
Speaking of Damocles' sword,
they're
not going to have that thing sitting over our heads.
But so now we do have to wait 6 weeks because I am certain we have not heard the end of the Green Anna and Bates story.
I don't think he's going to be able, Julian Fellowes, I don't think he's going to walk away from not giving that to the audience. So
oh,
I think he's just setting it. I think he's just pulling at it like this and everybody's getting
I'm going to make them suffer for six weeks.
And everybody's really mad. I'm going, what are you so mad at? He's not gonna, it happens off screen, he's not gonna let that happen.
There is no way. This is a guy who understands drama. There is no way he's not going to let us be fulfilled.
Yeah, he'll show us the flashback or whatever, but it'll probably be a weird time at the Christmas special.
It's a 2-hour show, so we've got to fill it up. Speaking of fill it up, I just want to talk a little bit about the fact that cheers to the finale slash almost finale.
Yeah,
we're drinking our Downton Abbey wine, which finally came in the mail this week.
But I'm not, because I'm driving.
You're
it's
driving.
Delicious.
And helming
is it good?
The whole thing.
It's very good.
Okay, there you go.
The label is quite fun, too. There are quotes on the back of each. I got 5 bottles. I only brought one. Only because that was the way to get cheap shipping.
That's true.
Okay.
Thrifty. My dear fellow, we all have chapters we would rather keep unpublished. Robert, the Earl of Grantham, is on the back of this one.
There
so anyway, it's very fun. It's quite delicious. And enjoy
order
a glass.
Yours now.
It says, enjoy a glass that harkens back to a forgotten age, perhaps on one of your weekends.
What is a weekend?
What is a weekend?
All right. So there you go.
So it's great, and we're enjoying it, yeah.
Okay. So what do we think? Do we think he's going to follow through and at least have some sort of fulfillment there, some sort of resolution?
Absolutely. Yes. Like I said, Julian Fellowes understands drama. He's not going to let it just sit like that. No. I mean, we've been sitting here stewing and plotting and planning more than Bates.
Not just stewing, but we're like a family at a village at a Frankenstein movie. We all want the pitchforks out. We want to string him up.
We want to stone him ourselves.
And we want Green to get his.
Yes. And he did. We just don't exactly.
Yeah, we just didn't see it. So we're still upset.
But we saw it all over Bates's face.
That's true.
It was all there. Every little smirk at the end that he...
So you absolutely think for sure he went there?
I do think
you don't think there's any question for you.
He had something going on that we want to know about.
Well, I mean, let's face it, the way Julian painted it. Oh, you're going to London. Excuse me. I have to talk to Carson.
Carson,
may I go to York? Exactly.
He runs over
and
there,
and while the bazaar is being all put up and everything, and he's gone.
He's gone.
He got thrown. But here's the thing that's interesting. They say, that as it was explained, or as I should say, how Mary explained it to Anna, was that there were a lot of people that saw. That he got hit by a lorry or a bus.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm fascinated by is, okay, how did you make that happen? If it was, and I do believe it was Bates. I don't know how he did it, but I think that's what they'll be showing on the Christmas special is how he did it.
It could be
or
that,
what he did.
It could be that Green was poisoned and fell into the street, literally.
Yeah, could be that.
But, you know, I mean, it has to be something satisfying. I know it's going to be. And we had a couple of Twitter fans who were like, what? That's not Bates's style.
Yeah.
Pushing Green into traffic, not Bates' style. Sean Dixon said that. And
but I wonder,
agree.
What is his style then? What do you think Bates would have done then? You just think he said poison, so that's an interesting...
Like,
well, just because of the wife, exactly, the connection to his wife.
Yeah, but he didn't do that. His wife did that.
No, but, I mean...
So, it worked in her case, so I'll use it too?
Maybe.
Okay.
And that's the path to success without actually being fully implicated.
Uh-huh.
He doesn't want to hurt Anna.
Well, I'm reminded of how he was with his prison cellmate and how he, you know, the way he would just get up in that guy's face. Exactly, and threaten him and stuff like that. And I'm just wondering what, because that's the scene I want to see. That's the thing was missing, is what did he say to Green? How did he say it? You know, you want to see that altercation.
They had tea.
Right, a little bit like in Breaking Bad, calling what's her name at the end and going, are you feeling ill? Are you, you know?
Okay.
And she learns that she's been poisoned with ricin.
Right.
Well, you know, one of the things that, again, this is slightly off the topic, but it still involves Bates and Green. And one person said, what does Anna see in Bates, for goodness sake?
Really? Okay.
Yes. And another person had said, maybe he's a serial killer.
He is looking very, very much like a serial killer.
Right, but wait a minute. Who is he? A serial killer? He's only... If he has killed Green, that's only one. You
know, well, how can you call wife.
He didn't kill his wife. Well, she killed herself.
Maybe he did.
Maybe he did.
Maybe he did. And just
so you don't believe in the whole she killed herself.
Of course I do. I'm telling you what other people have said.
Yeah.
No, I'm. Of course I believe what.
Well,
we
what
all
I'm saying,
believe.
You guys say serial killer.
No. I'm not saying it. I'm telling you what fans have said online.
Right.
Someone had said maybe Bates is a serial killer. What does Anna see in him? Mm-hmm. You know, they're really kind of twisting it. Talk about getting it all far fetched, because we love our far fetched predictions here at AfterBuzz.
But let's talk. Okay, so what does she see in him? He's extremely loyal to her and very protective and wants to avenge her and all those kinds of things. And
right, and he's incredibly charming. And, of course, anybody wants to feel protected. Mm-hmm. You know, we want to feel safe in our lives.
No.
I mean, you do. And I think that in past seasons, that's what he's sort of been. And this season, I don't know if it's... There's some colors of Bates that seem to be appearing, and it's not, it's that dark, but like, what's really going on? Which made me think, like, did you really kill your wife? Like, maybe you did. And maybe you were totally justified, just as if you were justified with this whole Green situation. Uh-huh. These were horrible people doing horrible things to you, but maybe we're not, he's not so clean as we'd like to hope for little Anna there.
Mm-hmm.
But.
Well, can we talk about the story, kind of how it came, how it rolled out?
Absolutely.
So interesting that, as you know, we kind of get into it, Gillingham's coming to town.
Yes.
Mary tells Anna that, and I'm sitting there going, tell her, and she finally did.
Well, she starts to. She doesn't really tell her. It's Mary that kind of figures it out, because all she says is, it's not Lord Gillingham, it's his man. And then, of course, when Mary puts it all together and the way she reacts.
The look on her face.
Yeah, got you too, huh?
Brilliant.
It came. Like, they took the breath out of me at the same time. Like, when Mary sat down and she was like, no, it beautifully done.
Right. No, thunderstruck, you know? Thunderstruck.
It's interesting because all three of us had that same reaction.
Yeah.
We were all... Just in that reaction, the way she did it, the way she sat down, we were all
it was beautifully portrayed.
Wonderfully done.
It was beautifully
portrayed. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And then all the rest of it with all the not saying anything and kind of saying something. And the way Anna was in the hall with Mrs. Hughes crying to, don't, and there's that damn hallway.
I'm like,
again.
Stay out of the hallway.
Yeah, it's the worst place to be in Downton.
God, moral of the story.
And please don't tell me, don't
give me away.
Don't give me up or whatever it is. I'll soldier through or whatever she says. You know, I'll manage, and she's going to soldier through.
Well, and she even swears Mary to secrecy.
Yes.
You have to promise me that you won't do anything about this.
Mm-hmm. Of course, but Mary can't.
Well, I love that Mary in this episode is the keeper of all secrets.
She was. She was the hinge pin for everything.
Yes, she was. Well, you know, I mean, she is the central character of the show, I enjoyed that about her.
But she was very matriarchal in the sense that she handled the rose thing, which we'll get to later, and she handled this thing, and she was handling everything.
Yes. She's the Mrs. Hughes upstairs. Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was great. And, the way she went to Lord Gillingham and said, look, I need to ask you, get rid of your valet. get rid of your man.
I love this method for giving out certain information, but not all the information.
She does it all the time.
Right. I know. And I just kind of finally, I thought, I need to incorporate that in my life because I loved the way she put it. And she said, she said, look, I can't tell you, I can't betray this trust, but you have to trust me that had I told you, you would be, on
if
board
you
with
knew.
Me. Exactly. Yes. And she did it with her dad and she did it with her mom and,
But it shows a hell of a lot of how much trust they have in her because they're, I'll do it.
She's coming across very, very strong and powerful. Like she was all woman in that when they were sitting there in the white and all the luncheon. God. And I was just like, and she just had it like such stillness and such control and so like in control of the situation of everything. And like, she's not, cause she's always sort of been like, I'm the one that's up here and everybody else is down here. But now it's like legitimate, like I'm in control of things.
She's owning
I'm owning
that
my power
position.
And doing it for good.
Right. Right.
And that was kind of beautiful to see.
Not only was it beautiful to see in how she was portraying it, but where they shot it.
I mean,
they've had some great locations in this particular episode.
Oh, my gosh, this is a beautiful episode. Yeah. Beautiful episode. I put a note on in a couple of places during the day today trying to find out where that arboretum or solarium is, and no one has answered yet. But my goodness, that place was beautiful.
It was. It was really, really funny. Yes. And then, so she says all that. He sacks him. And then, of course, very shortly after, he comes back and tells her that, Green's dead. And,
good gracious, he's dead.
Exactly.
Yeah, I thought I should tell Green
you.
Green is dead.
On what you told me.
And even Anna, when she finds out from Mary, she's going, when she finds out that other people witnessed it, she's kind of relieved. Because
she says so.
Yeah, in her mind, I guess, at that moment, she's thinking, if everybody else witnessed it, then it couldn't have been Bates.
Speaking to...
Let's finish that up, because at the end there, when she confronts him...
Bates, right.
Yeah. In a damn hallway.
Yes, in the hallway. Right, and before, after they show the shot of Downton, all dark. It looked like a haunted house with just the lights on the bottom.
Yeah, it was very eerie.
And then you see freaking Bates.
And she says you wouldn't do anything silly.
You would never risk everything we've built together. Right. Mm-hmm. And he says, you know me. When I do a thing, I like to have a very good reason for doing it.
Smirk.
Which is not answering anything.
If he had a mustache, he would have twirled it.
Oh, the smirk. It was too much. Bates is scary.
Going back to Julian Fellowes and how he portrayed this, it was incredibly not satisfying in the way that the information was delivered.
Right.
But I would say kind of how it happens in real life. Life is not, set up to be exciting drama. You learn things and they roll out in different ways. We didn't see Gillingham tell Mary. We just hear her say, what do you mean Green's dead?
Right.
We see Mary telling Anna, but we don't hear that interaction. Mm-hmm. So he's very carefully, he and the director obviously are very carefully holding back the information.
Right.
So,
and we also don't want to hear it two or three different times, but more than anything,
of course,
the fact that they kept the whole scene off screen.
Yep.
And left that to our imaginations, which for a lot of people was very unfulfilling. For me, it just set up, we're going to see it later.
It's just drawing out the drama.
Yeah, that's what I thought. We're going to get to see that later.
Yep.
Thank you. That's kind of fun.
Yep.
So, all right. So,
Bates is definitely the cat that ate the canary, because when he asks Anna early on, after she's told Mary about the truth of the matter. Yeah. He says, what about Green? I thought you liked him so much. You thought he was so funny.
Yeah.
And, could be interpreted as being maybe a little insensitive if he really does know.
I think he was just trying to get confirmation.
Thank you. That was the next thing. Yeah.
Yeah, he was just trying to get confirmation.
I do too. I was just...
It still made my skin crawl.
It was tricky.
I was like, he knows. Yes, maybe he's just still getting confirmation, but he already knows. So even in getting confirmation, he already knew. So I just feel like it was just like him...
Too much tormenting.
It was too much. Because she walked away and was
alone.
And
then was crying.
He's like right there. He knew and he didn't need to do that to confirm anything. Mm-hmm. He already had it confirmed. So that's why I feel like there's a lot more going on Hang on.
Oh, I just liked when he asked Mr. Green where he lived.
Right?
Just getting that information.
Really? Where do you live? Between Piccadilly and what, the Savoy or something like that? I don't remember. I remember the Piccadilly being part of it. Mm-hmm. Right. So, really? Okay, that's where you live. Got it. Lovely. Check.
Yeah, I know. Mm. It was great. I thought he was masterful.
Yeah, it's masterfully sociopathic.
Yeah,
just so long as he's on your side, you know?
Yeah, well, that's okay.
You know, he's a guy you don't want to be enemies.
You don't cross him. But you said that before. You don't cross him.
But I still don't think, I mean, I don't think he's a serial killer. Some people might say that he's, I don't know. I've seen some dark stuff. But, when he's dealing with that kind of dark character, sometimes in that world, I can see how you'd have to go dark to deal with that.
Of course. So. We're not faulting him.
No.
But that doesn't make him
No, I'm not
scary.
Saying you guys are, but that we're hearing a lot of other people out there suggesting that. Or faulting more Julian than anything because it just didn't show it on screen.
Yeah, but so. I mean, I think that they're looking at the old model of how he's handled series in the past.
Right.
You know, with wrapping them up at the finale and the Christmas special being.
Yeah, I think he's just drawn this one out.
I think so too. So
if he doesn't, it's a complete missed opportunity.
Yeah.
What were you doing in York? This and that.
What other reason would you have?
This and that.
All right. Mm-hmm. Well, since we talked Mary, let's get on to her and her desire of suitors.
Oh, goodness.
So Lord Gillingham has to come back and visit. I'm going, Lord Gillingham's going to visit again? What?
Seriously, these guys are looking slightly desperate.
Oh, absolutely. But what I found interesting is that he'd gone to Scotland and he thought about things.
Right, thought about life.
Exactly. Which, according to Violet, is not a good thing.
No, never a good thing.
You think too much of your life. Nobody's life looks reasonable. What is it, reasonable? Or what was the word she used? That's not. I'm sure she didn't say reasonable.
I don't remember. But he was thinking about his life. That was the moment where...
No life appears rewarding if you look at it too much.
Too closely.
Too closely.
Yeah, right.
Which is true.
Or, my dear fellow, we all have chapters we would rather keep unpublished.
Exactly.
Exactly.
So, but he, of course, is what he was thinking about all in Scotland was... That
he when he said so, I couldn't stop thinking about you, much to my surprise. And she says, well, much to my surprise, too, which...
Leads to him telling her that he's going to break off the engagement.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Or was she saying that about Blake? Sorry, I got him confused. I'll look at my notes. But
well, that's all right. But the point is that Lord Gillingham says he's going to break it off. Yeah, and she still says, that I wish you would think about that because...
I'm not on the market.
Yeah.
I was like, did they say that back then?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I was like, whoa.
Well, I suppose they had markets back then.
I don't expect to hear that in 1924 or whatever it is, 23, 24.
Golly.
So, yeah, she does say golly.
The family dinner where there's kind of the tete-a-tete going on between Blake and Gillingham. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Napier's just an also-ran at this point, isn't he?
The poor guy. I feel bad
for
him.
Guy.
He's like, too bad. You step up, my friend.
He tried.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. But I loved all the little looks between the two, especially with the Gillingham realizing what's going on and then deciding, hey,
I'll
get you absolutely,
sure,
you should ride with us. You would not stay here.
Why would he take them away, Tamara?
What?
Why would he take them away?
Take who away?
Or take the two guys away because he didn't want to. Never mind. We'll move on.
Okay, sorry. I'm sorry. I missed that.
At the hands of Mary's.
Yeah.
Oh, the death V.
Yeah, exactly. So, and then the three of them leaving at once and getting in the car, and then you have all the ladies.
That was so great.
That was great.
And had them all out in sort of their, regular outfits, whatever, on the street outfits, and looking at the men go away.
Looking at the men go away, and teasing Mary, and then you finally get, that's nice, too, because
that moment
what do we call a group of suitors. What do we call a murder of crows?
No. A desire
of suitors.
Of suitors. I loved it. I thought that was hilarious.
You should look that up.
Oh, make fun at my expense, she says, if you're going to be ridiculous.
But not ridiculous because they both swear their allegiance, their love, and they're not going to give up no matter what. Lord Gillingham tells her, even if a man's walking you down the aisle.
And maybe even
not even then.
Right?
And then you hear Blake saying almost the exact same thing.
I won't give up until you walk down the aisle with another man, and maybe not even then.
Yeah. Okay, and here was my question. I was going,
right?
Okay. I mean, I don't. What's the big deal? I mean, is
she
that
about
impressive?
Mary?
Right.
There's
I mean,
something.
Yeah, there's something about Mary.
There is something about Mary.
And I'm just not. I mean, she's nice and everything, but it's so funny that they're so taken. And it's not the money. It's not the position because they really are in love. They're infatuated like crazy with her.
She's hot. Let's just face it.
No, if you like that pale kind of thing,
pale, skinny, scrawny kind of. Yeah. But I mean, if you think about it, what are the the alternatives? That I do think that probably she's very beautiful compared to a lot of the other women who are, although Lavinia was quite beautiful too. You must admit Lavinia was quite beautiful. But, I'm sure she's a catch.
Mm-hmm. She's spirited. And a lot of the other women are sort of in convention and dealing with what that is. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, she can stand a little bit out of it. And they find that exciting.
Well, what I was also thinking of, and this is kind of a weird thing, but because of the wars and all the attrition of men, shall we say, I was thinking all these men, they've got it easy because all these women need men. And I'm going, why? I mean, because it's really not about her position or her power or her money. It's about they're really infatuated with her. And I'm going, could somebody show me exactly? Could she give them any? Because she doesn't really give them a reason. I mean, she rebuffs them, rebukes them, just
she
says no, gives no reason. And they, is it just because
was that
she's unattainable?
Of the hunt?
Exactly.
Is it the chase?
It's the unattainable thing.
All right. Okay.
She's like, nobody's going to have this.
Maybe.
I'm not saying
we must.
I'm give them a reason. Show them something because,
she
I'm
can
not
cook eggs, duh.
Right. Hello. She loves eggs and wine.
So she'll get in
the
pigsty and get muddy with you. So therefore, she's a catch.
She's a dirty girl, too.
Oh, hey.
All
right.
Oh, right. And who was it? I can't even remember who she was talking to. Gillingham, when he said, I won't give up. And she was at that moment where she said, I find that irritating and beguiling in equal measure.
Yes. Gillingham and Mary.
So she,
clearly conflicted. But so it's not just me. Blake is definitely the front runner, right?
I don't know because she had, it's just, I think. If Gillingham hadn't been engaged, of course he would be, because I think she really had feelings for him and some, but they're so, they're mollified by the fact that she's still not ready.
I finally checked my notes because they're chicken scratch. I can't believe me. Nobody could read these.
Apparently you were dipping into the wine before.
I wish.
Episode.
No, but Blake. It was Blake who said, I can think of nothing but you. And she said,
That surprises me.
And something to the effect of, it was a sentence that could be interpreted as, I'm kind of thinking the same thing. Mm-hmm. So, I think Blake is absolutely the front runner.
I think he is at this point, but I not by much, because I think she really had genuine affection for Gillingham. She has a history with him.
Yes.
And if it weren't for the fact that she was still, bereaving, shall we say. And the fact that he was getting engaged, I now that he's not, I think she's really stuck between the two.
I think they're very
because
even.
Let's face it, Blake is so new, and she did not like him at the beginning at all. And they had the one
bonding moment,
exactly,
right?
And that's it,
right?
But so I don't really. I mean, he's the front runner, maybe in terms of this show and the way they're showing him the series. But I don't necessarily think in her eyes. I think it's because of the history with Gillingham.
Well, but she has a history with Napier. Why do you think he fell away? Aside from the fact that he doesn't have the floppy Hugh Grant curly English, romantic dude hair.
Well, does there need to be another reason?
Apparently not. No, I mean, I think, they're at least portraying Napier as the least sort of dashingly handsome of the three guys. But, he gave up. He was definitely a guy in the background this episode.
I honestly think it's because she's too familiar with Napier.
Yeah.
And,
he's not interesting enough.
That's what I think. Yeah. I don't think he's enough of a novelty for her to take any interest in him.
And he's not aggressive.
Familiarity contempt.
Right. And aside from the Pamuk incident, they don't really have a bonding, because with Blake, it's all about the farm and landed houses and,
I think she's just too familiar with Napier, where, as opposed to Gilliam, she has a history, but it's not really...
It's not recent
and, therefore, it's kind of new and novel.
Okay.
And that's my only thought.
All right. Sorry, Napier.
Blake's putting up a fight, though, we know that.
Yeah, they're going to fight. They're going to have... Maybe we'll have a duel for her honor or something.
And both
right.
Guy and Napier
this is going to be great.
Right. Well, and, last week's episode, people were commenting on our YouTube page about how they love that... this friendship between Blake and Gillingham is becoming a competition.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it was obviously even more evident this week. And it is kind of comical how, you know, one of them shows up and the other one's like, oh, look, I'm coming too to Downton. I love it. I think it's
a lot of blocking going on.
Yeah. Yes. That's what you were going
that's
for.
That's what I was going for earlier.
Sorry. I did say that earlier.
The C block. Yes.
Yeah, there was. Exactly. Right. So why did Blake show up? Because
He was blocking.
He was blocking, yeah, so to speak. Yeah. Only okay. I didn't say it anywhere near as kindly as
yes,
I did.
Right. So, the fact that they too, the two men, meaning I should say Blake and
Gillingham,
have a history, and they were in the war together, so they served together, so they've got all that too. So that'll add to their rivalry, so to speak,
right.
as suitors, mm-hmm. shall we say? Mm-hmm.
Right.
All right. So
and
that
I couldn't
be
leave
fun.
Charles here with you. Yeah,
yeah, that should be fun.
That's great. I know. It is going to be interesting.
Yeah, well, I think that'll be great for the Christmas thing.
How they're all going to come to the house
absolutely.
For a Christmas party. They're all staying there.
Yeah.
Who's going to end up in Mary's bed?
That's, yeah. I don't think Napier will because he knows about Pamuk.
No, right.
Maybe he doesn't know that they slept together, but he knows Pamuk died.
She's a widow, so yeah. She's obviously knows everything, as she pointed out to her father
she's
recently.
Every
one of her. Wow, man.
Mm-hmm.
She's got a death bee. Mm-hmm. All right. So,
Marion or death bee.
Exactly. Let's move on to Rose, speaking of death bees.
Oh, God.
So Rose gets a phone call.
Aye.
She's, you know, on the phone canoodling.
Super excited.
Yeah. Can't wait to meet him.
Oh, Jack.
And, of course, they meet for tea. And
it's very precious.
Oh, yeah. There you go. This is a mashup.
Play a little more of that. Go ahead, Steve.
Steve, explain what that is for us, Steve.
It's Dubstep Abbey.
There you go, Dubstep Abbey.
Give it away, give it away, give it away. Oh my God, I love it.
I don't know where that came from, but who found that? But thank you very much,
Stephen.
We
asked him to find a little bit of something different.
There you go, that little slightly different version of the Downton Abbey theme song.
Yes.
And fitting for Rose and Jack.
Yeah.
So they meet at the tea room or whatever they're having. They're having tea, and she caresses his face. Tom, of course, sees all this, and I just thought Tom was great when he was talking to Mary about it.
He looked shell shocked. He was like, "Oh, goodness! Oh my!
I don't know why I have to say it, but I know I need to say it.
I gotta say it, and now I'm leaving.
Exactly. And I'm done now.
Yeah,
exactly.
I love the way he's backing out. Okay, so I said everything. Okay, I got
it out there.
Yeah.
Thomas out.
Let exactly. The chips fall where they may.
I thought that was great. He
awesome.
Did not want to have that
he
grenade.
Didn't want any part of that?
No.
Let it blow up on somebody else.
Like,
I do not want
to do
this.
With that.
So while Mary has these suitors, she decides she needs to stop this suiting
going
on. And of course, Rose wants to have nothing of it. She's just like, no, we're getting married, and I can't wait to see my mother's crumbling face.
Right. She says, I love him, and I won't listen to any imperial nonsense for him daring to dream. I'm going to marry him, and I don't care what it costs. I won't keep it a secret. I want to watch my mother's face crumble,
she says. And showed her hand.
Mm-hmm.
So. Yes, she did. Mary's a few years older, a few years wiser. She knows what's
many years
going
wiser.
On.
Many dead men wiser.
Right?
So, and many life complications.
Yes.
But I thought most interesting about that, she obviously has another time when she's talking to Rose, and that's when she says, we're getting engaged. I'm so happy.
Right.
And that's what prompts Mary, okay, that's it. I got to go to London and put the kibosh on this.
Right.
So, and she meets with him.
Right.
And that was weird, too, because, you know, she says, I'm here to see him. And then when she goes to see Jack, he's sitting there, you know, playing the piano and singing, but doesn't seem to be ready for her. But then she says, so
how did you know
I was
going to be?
I said, what is going on here?
Rose called.
Was he playing some sort of, of course you're here, but I'm not going to pay attention until you show up?
Was that some sort of
weird receiving thing or just a lack
power
of etiquette?
Play? Maybe. I don't know.
Whatever. All right. So we get into it. And, of course, the whole thing, and, you know, I think it's going to be a long out discussion about why he shouldn't or why he shouldn't. And he says, you know, don't worry about it.
He resigns it quite early in the conversation.
Absolutely, which is great because it would have been a long out, drawn out conversation that we've seen many a times. And I thought more than anything was great was he says he doesn't know he's going to end it because he loves her, not because he doesn't.
And he doesn't want to ruin her life.
Yeah, and he doesn't want to see anybody point fingers, and he wants her to be happy. That's how much he loves her. I was not expecting that.
No.
I was not either.
Well, no, especially because he's based on this character who was an absolute cad and went around, you know, marrying and discarding, you know, women
women out of their mouth.
Yeah. That kind of thing. So, obviously, this was a departure for Jack Ross versus the character that he was based on. But I thought that was kind of lovely.
It was a great twist.
Surprise.
Surprise. surprising.
Really
surprising.
To be like, I'm going to marry her. There's not much you can do about it because she loves me, and I'm going to take all her money and be fine.
Well, and it's
interesting. But he talks to his mom, too.
Right. That was what I was just going to say. Yeah, so Mary says, you know, I think she wants to shock her mom. Yeah. And he says, yeah, that's what my mom says.
I like that.
Mothers
smart
know,
women.
Don't
yes,
they?
They do. Yeah.
Which is why another point about how Mary's being matriarchal in a sense because the mothers are doing the talking here. And even though she's not Rose's mother.
She is a mother.
She is the one taking care of this.
Acting as that conduit.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So, but I thought it was great to have that twist in there. I was not expecting, and even not expecting the end when he's saying, look, if we lived in a slightly better world, I would not be backing off.
And they,
I would go further.
And they agreed on that.
Yeah. And the other thing I thought was great was when she was talking about her dad, and she says, look, my dad would be more upset that you were a band leader
than you're black.
I love that.
Which I think that's absolutely true.
Yep. And we kind of saw that when he came to the house, you know?
Yeah, but I mean, I just, it was kind of, again, I wasn't expecting that. It was like, oh, that was great. There's a moment there.
And it was very good.
But, and the most telling thing for me about it was the way the Mary talked to Rose at the end there at the bazaar when she was saying, look, there, you know, if you're going to complicate your life, do it for the right reason. And again, this whole storyline, it was great to have all that happen, because really you could have started with that line, but it wouldn't have been anywhere near as satisfying as the way they told the story, as the way Julian played it out, because that would have been a way to start it. That could have ended the conversation right there.
Yeah.
Indeed.
Don't do it just because you want to piss off your mom.
Indeed. Oh, speaking of Rose, we had some conversation about how old is she. You thought she might be, you know, very young.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was clarified for us by a fan. Thank you.
Yeah.
That she's 19.
19. There you go. Which is old for someone who's
coming out. So. Normally she's a year or two behind.
She, in chronologically, but she's acting like she's 15, 16,
yeah.
right?
Trying to get
in certain
mom.
Ways. You know, in certain ways.
Yeah. All right. I think in all ways,
maybe
but
not. Okay. Maybe not in others.
I'm not going to fight you.
Yeah. Well, but I think the reason why I'm saying that is because her mother was so sheltering and very rigid.
Well, she lived in the country. She lived on the heath, you know, in Scotland.
Yeah. So in
among
some
the
ways,
heather.
Yeah, but in some ways, I think that stilted her growth, which is why I still think of her as someone who's 15 or 16.
Well, and why London is so enticing to her.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
And, you know, a band leader and, you know.
And so, and really all of it's really just to get back at mom. Spite mom.
Should've loved
Jack. One down. All right, Tamara.
Oh, look, my glass is empty.
I'm
also starting to slur a little bit.
Yeah.
So I'm going to hold on.
Okay, let's move on from Rose, and let's move on to something else here. Let's talk Edith
poor Edith.
Oh my God.
Okay, again, you know, I got the Downton Abbey companion book and was skimming through it because it's quite a large book, and I wanted to get through as much of it as possible. Julian Fellowes talked about how. What I'm referring to is the moment where Edith is sitting with a dowager and in the drawing room, and there are conversations going on all around. And early in the episode, and the dowager goes, "Oh, Rosamund told me everything." And Edith's like, "What?" Well, she didn't tell her everything.
Just that she needed to be a little
cherished.
Right.
That's a very good way.
So Julian Fellowes
is a great way.
I like that.
That was sweet.
It was very sweet. Julian Fellowes talks about the comedy in the show and that, you know, we are kind of playing things for the chuckles.
Yes.
But, you know, you can't come off as like some crazy comedy.
Right.
And that was one of those moments where, you know, you definitely see the humor and the pain in the
drama.
It's so
funny that they're using this storyline for the chuckles, though.
Right?
It's so tragic.
I was going, wow. Because even last episode, they were doing the same thing. When Tom said, so did you get everything
taken care of?
It's like, and this is pretty much the same joke.
Right.
And it works just as well with the dowager.
Yep. Still funny.
Yeah.
And I was just laughing that they're using this storyline.
Well, because, you know, there is that... You know, the truth and the...
Yeah, and the pain all in one.
The pain
and
the comedy.
So we start off because, you know, Edith travels with Mary and Tom to see the pigs and make sure the pigs are all doing fine. They meet up with Mr. Drew and he's taking care of the pigs. They give him the job.
Okay, but, can we just remember that Edith had a little fling with a local farmer early in the series?
Yeah, sure, we can. Absolutely.
I mean, you know, that was flashing in my mind.
She was slumming it again.
She was smiling extra hard.
She was smiling extra hard. Thank you.
Really?
Yes, the whole time while they were talking,
but do you think
everything he would say.
But do you think it was because of him or because she was seeing a solution to her problem or both?
Probably the solution because she's obviously in love with Gregson.
Yeah.
And
right.
you know, and wants him to come back and, you know, have a normal life with him. But, you know, I was just having sort of flashbacks.
No, I thank you for bringing that up because I totally forgot. I completely forgot about that. And you're absolutely right.
So, little Edith.
Yeah, but no, she is. So she finds, or she thinks she has a solution until she tells Rosamund.
That's a horrible idea.
Exactly.
You've got an idea? No, I've got an idea, Rosamund
says. How are you going to have it down the street? It's not going to work.
But, you know, I was, when she, Edith was saying what she wanted, I was breaking, my heart was breaking a little bit for her because she really wants to be involved and have this thing.
She wants to be a mother.
And it's just not, and that's just not the way it was handled.
No.
Couldn't do it.
But go Rosamund.
No, and that was, you know, that was very common back then to, you know, in certain situations where there wasn't a parent to take care of things, you know, to take care of a child. Mothers died in childbirth. Mothers died during the flu. A baby would go to another family and, you know, it would all be, you know, handled.
Not too long ago because it happened in your family.
No, it happened in my family. It did. But, you know, she's the Earl's daughter. Yeah. So there is a different sort of set of circumstances there. And, you know,
in her own way, kind of, you know, not liberated, but shackled by what's going on.
She can't do. But interesting solution brought up by Rosamund.
Who announces it at dinner, too.
I got it.
I want to learn French.
In Switzerland.
Yes, because you know the French.
Can't handle the French.
Yeah. So, you know, everybody at dinner thinks, oh, well, you know. Except, of course, for one person.
Don't see through it at all, except for the most seasoned.
I know. And it was like, you know, because they finish the scene and the last person they leave on is, you know, her look, like, and the next time we come back to that storyline, you open up on Dowager's face again. Yeah, holding, you know, having them to tea.
Like, and he's like the Godfather at
yeah,
tea.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I know what's happening.
And again, another great, could have been a long drawn out scene. I love the way she just cut right to it, Julian.
Basically,
thank
you. I am on to you.
Yeah, and saying, okay, so I'm going to have to draw this out, am I? Okay, well, so here's the
thing. Oh, we're going to do it the long way.
Exactly. And then
Her specific quote was, you know, I want to know the truth. And she says, grandmother or whatever, you know, if you knew the truth, you would never forgive me. Well, then I suppose you have told me the truth. Only I would like it enunciated more clearly.
Yes, of course. Great line.
Painful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Grandma's making you say it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, yep. So you
Grandma's
really have to
like,
own it. Yeah.
Own it, you did it, that's now it. Say it. To my face.
I didn't even think of it like that, but that's great.
That's it.
I did not even think of it like that, but
that's
what
it is.
Beautiful, you chose it, you
that's
say
right.
it to my face
that's right,
right now.
So, yeah.
Because all of us feel bad for Edith. Oh, poor Edith. You still chose to do this?
That's right. So, and you can't really deal with it until you deal with it. So,
well, kind of that's what Rosamund has been saying all along, too. You know, you were out late. What were you doing when it was first happening, then when she learns what the truth is, you know.
But I guess it has a little bit more gravitas coming
when it comes from grandma.
Granny. Yeah. So, oh my God.
Ouch.
But then right after that, so she, you know, she makes her say the whole thing, and then they go, you know, the next time we go back to the storyline, they're in that beautiful setting with on the bench and everything.
Oh, I loved the
my God, it was gorgeous.
The cinematography of that scene through the purple flowers with the
And I also liked such different stark contrast, not only with how the Dowager was presenting herself at the tea and then here, because we get to see, and so both of everything was great. So because it looked so different, that her demeanor was so different, and you got to see the hard ass grandma holding her
holding
to it,
making
her tell it. Okay, now that you've told me, here's how we're gonna do it. And then being the softer side saying, let's deal with this.
I will, you know, I'll support you.
Yes,
oh, and then, you know, getting in her digs to Rosamund.
Yes, Rosamund.
Don't let her fund your thing because she'll require an annual tribute or whatever it was.
That's her own daughter she's talking about, too.
Yes.
And by the way, at the tea,
it's fabulous.
As I'm watching, I'm going, that is such great casting because her daughter and
mother, they look related.
Oh, my God. It was amazing. Even the way they act, the way they sit. And I'm hoping that the actress, and I'm not remembering her name, but Rosamund. When she's going, okay, I'm going to steal a few things from Maggie because she is my mother, and I would have certain traits of my mom. Because, man, did she look like it.
Mm-hmm.
And just it was great. I thought it was wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
And then I love the scene with the bench. I just thought it was beautiful, the way they were shot that.
It really was. And, you know, poor Edith. It was nice to see that she has allies and people looking out for her in this, you know, because it's got to be incredibly trying. Her man is MIA.
Yeah. And they really are rallying around her because this is a,
And she's got such a difficult situation in front of her with just that, and then being pregnant, and I was wondering why she wasn't just crying all the time, but she did.
Because I can't. I can't.
She was not drinking wine, though.
No, she refused wine at dinner.
I thought somebody was going to call her out for that.
Yeah.
I know.
Like, oh God, they're going to see. She's not taking it. Especially
they made
at the
a point.
They, had the champagne.
They
like,
made a point of having that in the frame.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Scared.
Speaking of which, Courtney, do you need one more?
So she is going to go. She's taking abroad. So there we go.
Right, to Switzerland. Headed to Switzerland. Yeah. Oh, where the Dowager says she has no interest in French.
Yeah.
If she wants to be understood by a foreigner, she shouts.
Yeah. Wow.
Classic.
And when she says it, and she, of course, Rosamund says that's not fair. And I go, no, that's exactly
it
fair. Because you can see Rosamund just shouting.
Yeah.
Just being louder. Like,
just get louder.
Like us ugly Americans are accused of being.
Sometimes, yes. Stereotypical.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. So I think that's where they're going
to
go. I mean,
are
we going to follow them? Do you think that sets up a whole storyline? We're going to follow her pregnancy in Switzerland, do you think? Or do you think, because, let's face it, they made a point of her lifting things.
That's true.
Yeah, Edith's
like
lifting
Cora
things,
has
getting
to
ready
find
for them.
Out. They can't.
I think that's.
I think
well,
she
I
does
think,
too.
And again, I'm going to hold to my prediction.
Original prediction.
Yeah, that she will lose the baby, and in that's when they'll
Cora
find out.
And that's how they will. I mean, that will create another incredible bonding experience.
Yes,
in the
because
family.
Mother has gone through the same thing.
Exactly.
Yeah. Like the soap.
We also had a couple of YouTube comments that supported you and they.
Oh, really?
And fans who had said that they agree with John that she will lose the baby. Die.
And by the way, speaking of you, thank you for your comments.
Yes.
I love hearing about your theory.
They're so
you guys are
funny.
Coming up with fabulous, fascinating theories that I would never come up with. So I think that's great. Please keep doing that.
And making me laugh. Like, I read them and just laugh out loud. They're fantastic.
Oh my, they're incredible. They are hysterical.
Yeah,
so please
really
keep
good.
Those coming.
Keep
right? Go to YouTube, iTunes, wherever you want to do. Tweet us. And keep them coming because we certainly appreciate them.
We do. We get a kick out of it because we share them between the three of us.
Yeah, and as often as we can, we'll obviously bring them up and during the podcast and share them and
yeah,
get more.
Thank you. For
all right,
that.
So but
thank
because so this is a full show, we have to keep going. So
yep.
We got to get to Violet and Isabel.
Violet's a matchmaker.
Well, that was the thing because they're continuing their unsteady alliance. She has her come over and stuff. This is before the luncheon where she just has her come over. And it was weird because she starts, it's just me. And, Violet says, I wish you'd stop doing that. That's not a very, not good for the self-esteem or whatever the line she is. But then later on when she says, that Isabel says she makes a sorry alternative for any of the
entire Crawley family.
And then she agrees with her. It's like,
yeah, you're right. No, it's give and take. It is give and take with the Dowager. There's no question about that.
That's why I call it the unsteady alliance.
It is.
Adorable
but she thinks enough of it. Go ahead, Tamara.
No, just bringing up the Teapot Dome scandal. And
they
gave us a little expose with that, which was interesting. Especially because it's
the whole reason why Lord Grantham is in the States.
It's distinctly American history. Yeah, so the English may not know about that. So that was helpful.
Very accurately and succinctly.
Yep.
And the poor times of Prohibition.
So anyway, they had this luncheon and nobody's there to help Violet through it. So she's got to ask somebody. She invites Isabel to help her out.
Oh, God.
That scene was so great.
What, the luncheon?
When the luncheon's happening, Lord and
Merton.
Lord Merton,
They're going back and forth and Dowager's just like, what? Is this happening in front of my face?
Okay, you guys think she was actually doing matchmaker stuff?
I thought she was a setup, but you don't think so?
I don't think it was a setup initially. Yeah. I think she was kind of shocked that they actually liked each other and enjoyed each other's company and could talk and had this thing going on. And then afterwards, maybe she was kind of like, okay, well
here's that's interesting because when I saw them, when Isabel was saying that stuff about a doctor and I might have to think of a rebuke or a buff or whatever she
says.
Rebut, excuse me. What I took away from that was the Dowager was going, that you shouldn't have said that, it was improper to say or something like that. I'm going, I didn't quite get it, what was going on. And so I didn't see her being a matchmaker at all. I really thought
she was just trying to get out of
there. She needed somebody there because she'd already gone through all these other people. And I bought that line. And I think she was surprised by it because.
Well, in hindsight, I'm sure you're right. But,
the reason why I say that is the next scene when she brings Isabel back for the flowers.
Yeah.
She's not happy about the flowers so much.
Why, John?
Because the flowers she got were smaller than the flowers that Isabel got.
That's right.
She's like, I already read the card.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, that was hilarious.
That was fantastic.
I already read the card.
I already read the card.
Asking for forgiveness for his tactlessness.
You were tactless?
Yeah.
Right. So can we talk about that conversation between
and
Lord Burton?
Yeah. He was.
What
they went
the
out
deal,
of walking.
What is the deal with people not knowing?
I don't know.
So there are not that many people. I mean, it's Downton Abbey. Like, you don't, their it's social circles are what they are.
It's
like,
not that huge.
Oh, I forgot. Yo, son.
I forgot who I was. I mean, who I was talking to.
Us forgetting Napier for one, you know, episode, I think a little different.
Forgivable,
than,
I would say.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But this seems strange.
It was weird.
And just the way you said it, oh, I forgot who you were for a second. What?
Supposed to be romantic. Yeah, like, I was so enthralled
I forgot who I was talking to. I was thinking you are related to the Dowager.
Right.
It didn't occur to me that you were the mother of my godchild's husband.
Yeah, just but
weird.
Completely.
Maybe things are just so incestuous there that
it's not shocking.
I mean, if that's the case, then you should always assume that you're offending someone at some point because they're all, you know, married to each other within the aristocracy.
But it was weird. Yes. Such a faux pas.
It was a terrible faux pas. Yeah. And if you remember, what he was talking about was the nasty dinner.
Oh, yeah, when Larry, his son, spiked Tom's drink.
Right, exactly. Slipped him a Mickey and made him start to go crazy.
By the way, that
dinner scene.
Oh, it was great. I love that scene when he stands up and he you know, tells his son off and apologizes to everybody for his son's behavior. And I was like, oh, that was amazing.
Right,
that was a great scene.
Right,
and then, of course, you know, Lord Merton asks about her son and how's he doing, and is he giving up his lawyer practice?
He did.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. As a matter of fact.
But then afterwards, they had an interesting moment afterwards because, you know, he's talking about he's envious of her memories of her life with her husband, and he can't, you know, pretend to have the same.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, whoa, wait a minute. And obviously I knew as soon as he wanted to escort her home, I'm going, uh-oh. Because I was thinking.
The doctor's got competition.
I go, the doctor, Lord Merton, and then Mary's got her suitors, and Isabel's got hers. I'm going, oh, man, they got a lot of things going on here.
But, you know, in English dramas, in Julian Fellowes dramas, people don't talk about how they're feeling. And it was a very intimate conversation between the two of them, especially considering they had not apparently had intimate conversations before.
Right.
You know, for him to talk about.
He didn't even know who she was.
Right, exactly. I envy you your wonderful memories and that sort of thing. And it was, I mean, she's always ready to, you know, be real with somebody, but you know, it was a lot of revealing conversation between them in a short period of time, which I really enjoyed. Another moment of beautiful cinematography was that moment when they were coming into, you know, the churchyard is in the background, and they were coming into her courtyard, her little courtyard. Mm-hmm. Again, I was reading in the companion book that the exterior and the interior of Isabel's house are two different locations in real life. And she was talking about how the actress who plays Isabel was talking about how, you know, you keep coming back to these locations and being in the houses of people and, you know, you do forge relationships with them.
The people who
live
there.
In the home that you're
the owners
working, shooting in. Mm-hmm. And so, of course, you know, you have to respect their property, but also, you know, you forge kind of, you know, very interesting friendships with them because of, you know, hanging out.
A lot
in
of time
house
there when you're not doing anything. You're
exactly.
just waiting to be on.
Yeah. So that was kind of interesting.
Oh, okay, great. Mm-hmm. All right. So obviously, there's going to carry that through and there's going to be some sort of love. Julian loves his life. His love triangle.
Love drama,
Mm-hmm. Speaking of love triangle, let's move on to Alfred, Ivy, and Daisy.
Oh, Lord. Oh, my God.
All right, well, what do you guys want to say about it?
Marry me! For no apparent reason have I shown you that I want to marry you, but marry me anyway.
But she was nice to Ivy was nice to him.
So that's a reason to get married.
He's
right
desperate.
There.
No. He's been wanting her to be nice for years now.
Yeah, okay.
Right. So, boy, he puts a lot in a letter, Mrs. Patmore says.
Yes, he does. Yeah.
I miss you. I'm coming by. My dad died. I want to marry you, and I want you to live in London, and I'm going to get you a job.
Yeah. So
bam.
There you go.
Good stuff.
Mm-hmm. And that's a good letter.
That's a good letter. And she had a good reason, though, for not wanting to marry him.
Right. Well, and, you know, again.
Not according to Pat Moore.
Exactly. That's, I love that comment. She's like, well, right. I got life to live. I got things to do. Well, Pat Moore's like, you're a very optimistic.
So optimistic. But I mean, truly, that was the moment where you see the difference between the two generations.
Yeah.
Mrs. Pat Moore, afraid of the electric mixer.
Yeah.
And Ivy, considering that, you know, there might be a life beyond service.
Well, yeah, but Pat Moore's seen what life has given her.
Yes.
And Ivy is hoping what life will give her.
I mean, excellent insight.
So, she's like, honey.
Yeah, you are not.
Think about that.
You need to be on this side and then take a look at it.
Right? Right.
So, yeah, but it was great, though, the two of them. And she's still young and, you know, doe-eyed and all that kind of stuff. So, but that was great. But more than that, Daisy's.
Oh, Daisy.
Yeah, just Daisy. But I love the scene with her and Mr. Mason. Finally, you know, because we've been talking about Mr. Mason and wanting her to get back to that.
To
right. So Mrs. Patmore, like, sort of suggesting the possibility, do you want the
day off?
You know, protecting her, which I thought was lovely. And then she goes and hangs out with Mr. Mason.
And it was her idea to go see Mr. Mason, which I thought was great, too.
Yeah.
It was Daisy's idea.
Because we've talked about how that storyline has kind of fallen away.
And thank him for bringing it back.
Yeah.
Thank you, Julian.
But,
and it was great to see him. I love Mr. Mason.
Picnicking.
I think he's great. He's very wise and, you know, just...
And loves Jill her so
loves
much.
Loves her so much.
Right.
It's like, thank God she's got someone.
And finally, you know, that she's embracing that relationship because she was so resistant to it.
Right.
And, you know, really seeing that she can provide, you know, it sounds a little cliche, but, you know, can provide a vessel for the love of this man who has lost his son.
It was cliche, but it was a wonderful cliche.
Yes.
Thank you. That's the reason why they're cliches. You know, they work. But it was so beautiful, them, you know, having that moment and him saying, you know, she's saying, oh, well, I thought you would want me to hang out with you a little longer. Yeah. And he says, I want you to stay forever. And I hope that will be the case eventually. But Mrs. Patmore is wrong.
Yeah.
When he calls her out on,
yeah,
have you
absolutely.
Left Downton Abbey because you don't want to see Alfred?
Yeah.
Because, of course, he and Mrs. Patmore talk. I mean, they, you know.
And then the way he said this stuff about there are going to be very
few people that
you
love. Like, really love.
Look at you guys.
Right?
That whole thing was so...
Oh, look at you, Mr. Sparkly Eyes. I can see it.
I was just, oh, what an amazing thing to say. I mean, the whole thing, just his generation, this man saying this to this girl, and I'm just going, what girl that age wouldn't want to hear that.
That great wisdom,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. Yes. Every woman should hear something like that.
Yeah.
To be exactly.
Across those fields.
I mean, it was such a great line.
And so kind, because he says to her, you're all that I have left of my son, and I want you to be happy. So he's really putting everything into it.
And not to, he wants her to be able to say goodbye without any... What was it, harshness? Or
jagged. Nothing jagged and nothing harsh between you.
Them. Yeah.
Oh, God.
And my
so
God.
Good.
And exactly. And just to be able to have that in your life and not have it hanging on. Talk about Damocles' sword when, you know, for me, that sword was over this entire, there were so many things hanging over people's head in this particular episode.
Another thing was the moment, so we'll get to Pat Moore on this, but, you know, that moment where Ivy says to Daisy, look, he asked me to marry him.
Oh, yeah.
And then, I mean, not a breath went by before Mrs. Patmore went, and she's turned him down. Just want to make sure you know.
She said no.
Exactly.
And, you know, she felt really bad for him, of course.
Daisy
felt very bad for Alfred. And, you know, he said, you know, when he was Mr. Mason, when he was talking to her, that we'll make sure you get back and, you know, have time. And I thought they were going to, I honestly thought maybe they're not going to do that, meaning
not
she's
say
just
going
to miss that opportunity. Because the way they set it up and it was done so beautifully, the way Mr. Mason was talking to her, I'm going, how tragic would it have been if she got
she
to the train station
the
too late? I'm going, that would have been wonderful drama. It would have been, you missed that opportunity.
Just missed it to close the door.
Exactly. But they didn't, thankfully. So, because this was wonderful too. But I thought, God, that would have been just wrenching to have her miss that opportunity and have him never come back.
But
she would really learn that lesson. But she learned it a different
wrenching way.
It was. She brings back the basket and the whole thing.
And he walks down the dark hallway and disappears and says he won't be back ever.
But, you know, it was such a testament to Daisy and her, you know, scullery maid.
Yeah.
Like, dirt on the floor is what has been her role for so long. Mm-hmm. And partly because of growing older, partly because of getting married for the few hours that she was married, having this relationship with her father-in-law. Having her heart broken by Alfred and, you know, kind of seeing that, you know what? I deserve better than that. Mm-hmm. You know, I deserve better than him coming back. Because he was kind of going down the road.
Oh, yeah.
You know, maybe Ivy, I was wrong about.
I've
maybe it's
you.
You've
been so true to me.
You're so good to me. Yeah.
And she, you know,
a
weaker gals.
A lesser woman would have said, oh,
you're right.
And she wasn't willing to settle for that, which is great. Good for her. Yes. And I think it's because Mr. May, not just because of what he said, but I think that in that moment, she may have realized that I do deserve. Yeah, all that other stuff, and that that I don't have to settle for this as much as I may have wanted it, because he doesn't really want me.
Right.
Exactly.
So. Right. He wants something that I can fill for him. I can't believe I'm not the one tearing up. I'm the one who's usually bawling through the entire thing.
And they capped it off with the Pat Moore meeting outside.
Yes. That took it away from me.
Yeah, that was it.
Oh my God. She's like, I'm so proud of you. Oh. I couldn't be more proud of you if you were my own.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And their relationship and their love is so strong. And she had such a strong moment. And she was just so much taken out of you because your love just walked out and is never coming back and never going to see it again.
And she said to him, I did love you.
But
those feelings are not coming back again. That's it. It's over. And here we are on the other side of it. But we will be friends forever.
And I also loved the parallel between the upstairs and the downstairs. We had Violet and Isabel Rosamund rallying around Edith in her time of need. We have Mrs. Hughes and Pat Moore rallying around Daisy. Helping her out and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And especially with the women, they're really showing that and how women are supporting of each other.
And I love it.
I
appreciate it so much. The women are strong. They're supporting each other. And they're like the reason that things happen and the reason things that go well. When things go wrong, they're still the strength that make him turn the other way.
Yeah, whatever. Right. No, it is great. But the thing about it, the other thing that I love about it is it's not trite.
No.
It's done really well. No. And when you're approaching the part where it's like too sentimental, they're out.
Yeah. Right.
And thank God they're out with the pacing, because otherwise it would get too much and too cloying. But it's not, for me anyway. I mean, maybe other people feel differently. But I like the way they do it, because they get there, they get to there quickly, and then they're gone. They move on. So that's terrific.
Yep.
And wonderful to see when it happens. So, all right, what are we off to next? We got to deal with Mosley. Geez. Speaking of Triton. Nobody makes a friend.
Nobody thought I was looking.
He makes a friend.
That's beautiful. I loved it.
Don't you think?
He does. And the conversation with them was so dear.
Yeah. What he said to her in the beginning when he's talking about, look, I know that, notice that not many of us here, Thomas.
Which may offend you.
Yeah. But I hope you.
I wish you'd give us credit for making up our own minds about you.
Yeah, it was such a, I mean, God, it was, what very deep thing for most of us.
How kind.
Yes, kind and deep.
Well, and his thing of, I felt fragile my whole life.
Oh, yeah.
So it gives us a little, as much as we've laughed at him and made fun of him for so long for him being an Eeyore. Yeah. I felt fragile my whole life, and it kind of shifts perspective of where he's come from and the trials he's been through.
Yeah. He's Edith
with
downstairs.
His whole life.
He is.
Poor Mosley.
But feeling fragile then at the end, though, but standing up for her at the end, because he wasn't feeling so fragile then, and telling Mr. Barrow, there'll be no bullying. And
that was sweet, and it was. Whisked her away. Going over here.
But before that, of course, he has the ringing of the bell thing.
Well, you know,
jerk face Jimmy.
Her moment where she says to him, you're very lucky to have grown up in a village where people like you, where your family is respected. So that obviously tells us something about her.
Not only that, but we also learned that she had been to London and didn't work out so well. So we know enough. We're getting a little bit of her backstory, which is, I'm sure, what everything that Thomas knows. They were in London. Her family was not respected and not well liked.
Right.
So we at least know that.
Right.
So she's a city dweller. So I'm sure she's loving Downton.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Downton is bad.
She's got a fabulous sewing machine.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And somebody who's looking out for her at least. Mm-hmm. And they're making up their own mind. So that was good for them. But it was fun to see the two of them together. And I'm sure Mosley will screw it up.
Right, or Thomas will. And, she's clearly so conflicted about her obligation to Thomas.
Right.
Can't wait to find out why that
fishing
exists.
And digging all the time.
And, and there's Julian just giving us little tiny bits of information, just really drawing that out. Because we've had the whole series, and we still don't know what he has on her.
Right?
What Thomas has on Baxter. Nope. So we don't know.
Not a clue.
Mm-hmm. I didn't write this down, but let's talk about Thomas, right?
Yeah, Tom.
Tom.
Tom, yeah.
Because obviously he's Mrs. Bunting, and, you know, this is her car. Miss Bunting, excuse me, Miss Bunting, yes. Thank you for clarifying. Right. It's very important that she's Miss Bunting.
Teacher in town.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. She's cute.
He obviously has eyes for her, because in that scene when she says she's a teacher, they end on him and he's kind of like, interesting. Mm-hmm. So he has eyes for her.
And she's sort of willful. I mean, she's...
Oh, yeah.
She's,
which I'm sure reminds him of Sybil.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. She had words for his family. Mm-hmm.
How convenient that they run into each other on the road and her car's broken down. And, oh, look who happens to have the skill to be able to fix her car.
She's like, where did she get the car? She's a teacher. What the heck is it?
But it was her friend.
I know, but she can drive, too.
She can drive. Mm-hmm.
So interesting. She's making all these assumptions about Tom.
And the family.
And the family.
Mm-hmm. Which is what Tom did.
Yes, he did.
Yeah, so excellent parallel.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So
he's getting to give it back a little bit.
Yeah, so, and then, you know, especially when they're at the bazaar and he's lugging things around and she calls him a beast of burden.
Oh, you're a beast of burden.
Uh-huh. So he goes, this is a teacher, a little lesson. Mm-hmm. He's going to teach the teacher.
Right.
He's going to school her.
Already.
So he does a little bit, which is kind of fun. And she does look at things a little slightly differently, but, mm-hmm. They're really taking their time with this thing, too.
Yes. Yeah.
And especially, there was a moment in the earlier when Isabel actually defended Branson talking to her. When she passed by them, she was going wherever, and she was talking about his ideals.
Right, whatever. Yeah.
Right.
And Isabel had her moment of defending him again.
Exactly.
And I'm like, they're just bonding
and she's
more every episode.
Here's a weird prediction. He's going to run for office. She's going to be his campaign manager.
Right.
Don't you think? Isabel would love it.
Yes, she would.
There you go.
Yes,
so,
she would.
Yes, but I like that this woman is sort of him. I feel like she's going to be what helps him find his
place.
Comfort with where he is.
Yeah.
And feeling, because having to sort of defend where I came from, what I am now, and where I'm going, like, is an interesting sort of dynamic.
Yeah, because he's somebody outside of the circle. This whole particular series has been, this season, if you're in America, has been about him deciding where he is or not fitting in the other way. He's in between worlds. He is a man without a country, all that kind of stuff.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I've been waiting for them to get to the point where he's at cause and he's going to choose what his life is going to be. And I think this was the beginning of all that.
Exactly.
Yeah, and defining it because he's having to really, like, get it figured out and define it for other people to understand.
Yeah, and then he'll make that decision. But I do think, I kind of hope he does run, and I want to see Isabel as the campaign manager. That would be awesome.
He should run.
Oh,
yeah,
my
to see
God.
Her, you know, she's got a cause now,
she's
and she really believes in him.
Placard,
she, you
know, stick.
And their politics are, you know,
they're in line. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
So you can
and
see that happening.
Her new man, Lord Merlot, or...
Merton.
I can't. Lord, like Merlot.
You've been drinking wine.
So, Lord Merlot. There is some Merlot in here.
Oh, okay.
70% Merlot.
Ooh.
Well, the last thing I wanted to talk to was just about the bazaar, just because, you know, it was a little bizarre. They're having the Sunday thing or whatever it is.
And the church bazaar.
And, of course, this is a tradition. It's been handled by other people and very aptly handled by the Dowager
in the
past. Years. So it's left up to Cora, and she's getting
she's
no help from anybody.
What am I going to do?
But I also liked when Mary says, I'm going to London, and Rose says, can I go? No.
You need to help, Mom.
Mama needs your help. Yes. She's, poor thing. But, and she, you know, great bazaar, you know, looks like a lot of fun, a lot of sack races.
Lots of lemonade.
But the biggest... Go ahead, Tamara.
No, go ahead. I was just going to say
the biggest thing about it for me was that Lord Ganthamwood returned.
Surprise arrives
return.
Back.
And, you know, again, this is part of the milieu of Downton Abbey. They have the big, huge thing at the end. Mm-hmm. In the finales, they always have some big, like, last...
Cricket.
The cricket game,
yeah.
Exactly. The other, we had another bizarre parade or whatever it was last time.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have that thing out there on the lawn. And it's great to have him come back, and all the energy, and even the way that the daughters greet him,
mm-hmm.
and
it was just like,
and it was, you know, a welcome return for him, the prodigal father, as he says, and he is really happy to see Cora.
No kidding.
Yes. I missed you so much.
Yeah, and
I
think he's more. I'm not sure if he's happier to see Cora or Bates, because
he was not too happy with Tom. He got out of the car.
Right.
He
made that.
How happy I was to see you.
And you know. Sorry, hold on one sec. Go ahead. Continue talking. Oh, wait.
Yeah, all right. But You know, and of course Thomas had a great time, and it was modern.
Yes. Modern and exciting.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And modern.
And you know, I was really hoping Julian would bring back the whole line that Mary said. Stewards, anything about stewards,
Oh, right.
Just something that would have been fun. It would have been fun if you just called to it.
And
some, just a little callback that would have been fun for us.
But Lord Grantham was glad to be back because he could finally drink in public without the police coming over him. And his line,
speaking of drinking,
down with prohibition. I'll drink to that. Here we go.
Cheers.
Down with prohibition.
Thank God that's over.
Yeah. And of course, we find out that Harold has been reprimanded, but he's received from the Senate committee,
right?
A reprimand regarding the Teapot Dome thing. So he's just reprimanded. But he and Martha will be visiting.
Ta-da!
It's a little fun for us to look forward to. I don't know if they're going to be coming.
Well, you know, here's the thing. So we can talk a little bit about which we're. We'll talk about predictions. Yeah,
no.
We'll do that later. Can we go back? Just one thing that I forgot to mention is the Mary Gillingham story. Okay, so in the about halfway through, when she's telling him you need to fire your man,
right? Yeah,
she says he's done something you'd find abhorrent, and he says, "I love you and I believe in you." He says, "I love you."
You know, we kind of walked out of that, but no, what Courtney, you're saying?
Yeah, I'm saying yes, he did.
Yes, he did.
I
mean, that was sort of like, oh, hello.
But he's already said it. He's already professed it to her.
But he was like not making any secret of it at all.
I know that was the part that was shocking for me, is that he didn't disguise it or couch it in any way.
Is that a 20s thing? Like, let's be real upfront because life is short, so we got to do this now?
I honestly would be freaked out.
Like, you love me? What?
I think it's a Lord Gillingham thing. I think he realizes he's got this other suitor.
Right? He's got some big competition in play.
And I've got to, you know, get moving on this. And to tell her, look, I'm not going to stop, even if you are walking a guy down the aisle, or he's walking you down the aisle.
Right.
I
love you and I believe in you.
Yeah.
Holy cow.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That was a big deal.
It was a big deal, and there was very little reaction from her.
She's probably very used to
that.
Yeah,
I heard it a million times.
Get in line.
So that's what it was. So.
Yep.
All right. So what else we got? I think there was a lot to cover.
I think we got everything.
Do we have news that we can?
We do have news.
Let's go to our news.
Let's get some news.
AfterBuzz TV news
and gossip. First thing I would like to mention is Downton Abbey has been renewed for a fifth season.
There you go.
ITV has confirmed that Downton will be renewed for a fifth season. According to them, this series, season 5, will go on to explore Lady Mary's relationship with her two would-be suitors.
Okey-dokey.
Okay, so Napier is officially out. Also, with Branson's flirtation with a village school teacher and Lady Edith's pregnancy, as well as the fallout from Lady Rose's broken engagement.
Oh,
there's going to be a fallout.
So there's going to be fallout.
Fallout.
Apparently,
they were engaged for all of 2 hours.
Hey,
I know.
But they were touching faces in public, John. Oh.
You got me there.
So true.
The village knows.
As far as ratings go, the finale was viewed by 10.5 million people at its peak and gained an average overnight audience of 9.8 million.
It's roughly the same as the premiere this year.
40% of Britons were watching who were watching TV at the time. So this was the biggest audience of the year for the drama, but it was beaten by another show, Strictly Come Dancing. Uh-huh. These figures are slightly down on the 9.7 million people who watched the drama's previous series. Uh-huh. In 2010, an average of 8.8 million people tuned in to watch Downton's first season, followed by 9.5 in season 2.
Okay.
Dan Stevens, the beloved and now dead Matthew, is going to star as Sir Lancelot in Night at the Museum 3 opposite Ben Stiller.
That's why you left out.
He's the main villain in the sequel, and he will also star opposite Robin Williams, who plays Teddy Roosevelt. Mm-hmm. And of course, Ben Stiller, who plays Larry.
So, Courtney, how do you feel about that?
Dan, you're a dummy. That's how I feel about that.
Okay.
Okay, fine. You had creative needs that you needed to meet, and apparently Night at the Museum meets them.
Yeah, that.
But Downton didn't? What?
No, but that's what I meant.
Night at the Museum 3.
But remember, he did a Broadway stint after he got off Downton.
Yeah, I don't understand the whole reason why he did that. I don't know why you can't do both. It's not like Downton has a huge commitment.
23 episode thing that they're shooting over 8 months.
It's crazy. Like, but anyway.
Whatever. No, I'm not judging. Mm-hmm. Do your job.
Yeah.
No, we are judging. We're completely judging.
Okay, we are judging. Okay, yeah. We are.
Well,
and other people have said that his leaving Downton Abbey was the best thing he could have done for his career.
I disagree.
Because it got him huge press, mm-hmm. and he's not sitting around on the couch. He's definitely working. So.
Well, yeah. I guess one could argue that. I could also argue I haven't heard a thing of him since.
And I only
talk of him in relationship with Downton.
I think he needed at least one more season on Downton.
Oh, but just wait till Night at the Museum 3 comes out. You're totally going to be talking about him.
You're going to be like, that Lancelot? Yeah. Great.
He's going to be walking down the aisle to Oscarville. So, sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Speaking of totally, article that I tweeted out tonight was the Downton Abbey spinoffs we would totally tune into. This is written by Ellie Walker Arnett. Uh-huh. She says she has got 5 spinoff ideas.
All right.
One of them is Take Mary Out. So here's how. Lady Mary Crawley hosts Take Mary Out, a highly competitive game show designed to put eligible bachelors
like
through their paces.
Oh my God.
Very funny. Then there's Small Town Matters with Dowager Countess. frankly, it's ridiculous if Isla Crawley has not been given her very own show. This fixed camera series hosted by Bad Temper Butler Spratt will be set entirely in Violet's delightful drawing room as she replies to correspondence, takes tea, and naps at her writing table. Every few minutes, she will be interrupted, much to her irritation, by a villager requiring assistance.
That's great. I love it.
Another would be Branson Goes Stateside, which actually we've predicted throughout our show and with some of our Twitter followers. Branson goes to the U.S. Then there is 2.5 Ladies, bringing up an illegitimate baby in 1920s rural Yorkshire, starring Edith, keeping little Gregson's little one as part of the spinoff.
Okay.
Minnie Gregson,
and their
mm-hmm. exploits. Okay. And then finally, Lady Rose, featured in Saks and the City.
That's fantastic.
There's just not enough room for all of her jazz-loving naughtiness in Downton Abbey, so she needs a spinoff, Sax and the City for Rose.
Okay.
Okay, finally,
I've watched some of those.
I know, right? I tweeted out the link. The article's very funny. It's very cute, so look on Twitter for that. The Downton Abbey Christmas special, this is spoiler news, will not include any deaths. Hello?
Because Green's already dead.
And will be the most spectacular yet.
According to Julian? Or?
According to Liz Trubridge, the executive producer.
Oh, all right.
So she says after last year's emotional episode, she assures viewers nobody dies, and that much I can tell you. I'm very sorry about last year. But what do you do when you have a treasured character who wants to leave? We won't do that this time. So it's packed full of story, and it is without question the biggest episode we have ever done. It is the most spectacular ever. Okay, so let's talk Christmas special.
Okay.
We know that Paul Giamatti is part of it.
Okay.
We know that his mom,
Shirley
MacLaine, will be there.
You knew that. I didn't.
We do know that.
Okay, great.
Sorry that I didn't tell you. We do know that. So the one thing that.
And now, you're after Buzz TV.
What?
Predictions. I think we're going to move on to predictions.
We are. Well, this is. It's perfect time.
I know.
No, Stephen, you're great.
I know,
it was perfect.
I'm just kidding.
The one mention of Harold was that. Well, I think it was his mother wants to come back to Downton. Mm-hmm. She wants to come back next summer for Rose's coming out.
And Harold will be joining her.
Right. So it's the Christmas special plays on Christmas, but it is not portrayed as Christmas. It's going to be set in the summer.
Okay.
Oh, so this is what we know.
The way they said that, then it looks like
it's not set at Christmas, and we won't be splitting up the family and the servants this time. That's per Liz Trubridge.
Okay. All right.
There is a cast photo that I meant to bring and forgot, that shows, the cast during the Christmas special. Bates is not in that picture.
Right.
Carson is in that picture.
Jimmy's in that picture.
No, not Alfred. Jimmy.
Yeah.
And Mosley.
Right.
So, you know, yeah, I don't know what that means, but Anna is also, yeah, also not so in the picture. So you never know who's upstairs, that. Downstairs.
Yeah.
But so it's going to be set in the summer.
Mm-hmm. And if we believe everything that she says, then it looks like Edith will have
Edith
a pregnancy.
Edith will have a baby.
Edith is not pregnant in that picture, I will tell you
no,
that.
No, not in that picture, but then who knows when
Where's
that picture was taken.
Baby?
But she says they're going to be dealing with the pregnancy, and if it's in the summer, then we know it's months along.
Right.
So it looks
like.
Yeah,
so she would have to be
Gregson
showing.
Is also not in that picture.
Mm-hmm. So we don't know any about
But.
Courtney.
Oh, dang it. I can't remember who. There is someone else who's not a regular in the series right now who is in the picture. And I'm so sorry. I can't remember his name. It might be the Downton Abbey Bordeaux that I'm drinking that has told me that. Okay.
All right.
So anyway, we have a summer 2-hour episode. And what are we going to see? We've already predicted that we are going to find out what the truth is behind the Bates and Anna and Green
situation. Yes, we will get that information.
What else?
How that will come back to haunt them, I don't know, but it'll be very interesting. It's already driving a wedge between Anna and Bates anyway.
True.
So it'll be interesting to see where they pick up, because I'm going to guess that that's there. They probably haven't talked about it. I'm guessing that they won't talk about it until Bates is forced to.
Mm-hmm. But it's Bates and Anna, you mean?
Yeah, I don't mean Bates and Anna won't talk about it.
Right.
But until Bates is forced to, because he's just not going to, he doesn't want to let her know, doesn't want to put her in that position, all that kind of stuff. But something, of course, that's going to come back to haunt them. And I think that has already the wedge between them that's going to cause them to stay
further wedge apart.
The thing is that Bates and Anna are kind of the heart of the series, the emotional, sentimental heart, which is why her rape was so difficult for people to watch, why there was such an
uproar. Many other things, but yes.
Well, you know, there was such an emotional connection between the audience and her.
Yeah.
So I think that there is. My prediction is that we are going to have a very satisfying ending once we learn about what's going on with Green. And I think that Anna and Bates are going to be fine. I do. I think they're going to continue to be together. And I think it's going to be happy days are here again for a little while at least.
Well, I don't think he's going to go to prison because
they've already done
that route.
Yeah.
So, and I don't think they're going to kill him off because we know they're not going to kill anybody. So, but I don't think it's going to be all fun.
I don't think it's going to be.
You don't think it's rainbows and unicorns?
No. Because she's already still coping with being raped. Mm-hmm. And then she's going to somehow know that he had something to do with it. And that's going to be
an evil
juxtaposition.
No, you guys are right.
Because
of course
they
you
may
are.
Start out the, they may start out the show of, hey, everything's fine. Yeah. Hunky Dorm, great to be back together. And then she'll find out later that, no, he actually did have something to do with it. And that's the thing.
So that relief that she felt in this episode. Tension. The relief she felt in this episode will be dispelled.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And hashtag Team Bastard Baby.
So you really think that's good?
And it's going to learn Francais in Switzerland.
Yeah. But that's the question. Are they going to follow that storyline to Switzerland, or is she going to be part? Or is she going to be with the family?
I would imagine if it's Rose's coming out that she would be hidden away somewhere. So maybe she is in Switzerland.
Yeah, and that's going to be very interesting.
Mm. If it's the summer, I think the birth has already happened.
Okay.
Because was it bizarre spring? Like, was it? Because they looked like it was kind of supposed to be
weather, so it's obviously not, you know, fall or winter.
Yeah. And she's already, she kind of said something that made you think she was 4 or 5 months along already.
Yeah.
In this episode. She said something.
Really?
I
think
remember
four.
What it was
four?
Yeah, because I remember, trimester.
You got to tell mother soon, was part of it.
That's out of the stone. First trimester.
So she could be
I think maybe on the edge.
Right. To the end. Of
So if it's summer when Rose is coming out, I think the birth has already happened. But I mean, I like the idea of, dramatically speaking, I like the idea of Edith losing the baby. Mm-hmm. Gregson coming back. And then them having to rebuild their relationship after this devastating loss.
Yeah, exactly.
I like her giving away the baby and then him coming back and them having to figure it out.
Oh, yeah, that's
John,
really interesting,
what do you
too.
Think?
Well, I've always maintained it would be more, for me, just because we've already seen them have a child. We've lost a
mother
in childbirth. We've already seen pregnancies.
We've lost a father.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm going, to go through another pregnancy, it's kind of, we've been there.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, I can, because the added twist of Gregson not being around and him coming back, giving the baby up for adoption, and then him coming back and realize you gave up our child for adoption, how do we get him back? I can see that being dramatic and fun. But I just think, I'm going to stay with my prediction before. Which
Where the hell is he?
Right.
Yeah.
And
right.
Why is he out of communicado? What is that? That's what, Gregson, you need to come back or give us some.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Gregson will be part of it, I think.
Well, you know, what I'm wondering, what the Nazis don't really exist yet. I mean, they're, you know, sort of the undercurrent.
They're brewing.
They're brewing.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's still a little early.
So when they're talking about this being a spectacular episode, what do you think the spectacularness will be?
Well,
does anyone have any ideas about that?
You mean historically?
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to be a bit historical. I don't think there's going to be, you know, a backdrop.
No,
but I don't think
spectacle.
It's
going to. I think there's going to be a spectacle. Spectacular.
I think a lot of that is hype because she's the executive producer and she needs to sell the show.
Sell the show.
But I also think that it's going to be dramatic in its sense.
You are so cynical, John.
There is nothing spectacular.
I think the spectacle is going
to
be that we won't be killing anybody, but there's going
to
be a lot of stories. So, for instance, we're going to figure out, I think we're going to learn about what Baxter and Thomas have. So we're going to know what that secret is.
Because
we don't know a lot. I mean, they set up a lot.
Yeah.
You know, and they, you know, we're going to see that Tom and Miss Bunting thing is going to come into a fuller relationship. So there's going to be that. And then he's going to be, and I honestly think if they do something like Tom running for office or something, I think that's pretty dramatic and I think that's spectacular because now that's going to create a whole thing because now you have a politician amongst these and I don't think that's going to sit well with Lord Grantham either. Because certainly their politics aren't going to match. And
of
now,
course.
You know, it's like having a band leader in your family, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think there's that. So I just think they're going to amp up the storylines.
I want to just reread her quote. It is packed full of story and it is without question the biggest episode we've ever done. It is the most spectacular.
Right.
So, I mean, I don't know. I don't think I mean this literally, but I think there will be fireworks.
Well,
you know, I don't know what that is.
Gregson comes back and he's not divorced and everybody finds out and Edith is also pregnant and everybody knows. So what do we do now?
Well, and then there's the fallout of Rose. So I just think it's going to be stuff upon stuff upon. I don't think it's going to be.
There is speculation online that Julian Fellowes has run out of story.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, that was one of the criticisms that people made about this episode that, you know, it was
kind of. Ridiculous. I'm sorry to interrupt, but it's because the whole season has been about story and lots of story and lots of different twists and plots.
I mean, he opened like 18 doors in this
And he ran out of story. What do you know? He didn't run out of story. It wasn't. I don't know what that criticism is about.
Hey, don't shoot the messenger. I'm just telling you what people are saying. People are saying that they've run out of story. So, you know, because he's been laying a lot of groundwork for things to come to fruition that they didn't come to fruition this episode where people expected it based on how series have gone in the past. Mm-hmm. So I think this is going to be
a
must-see moment. We have not talked about when we were going to do our podcast.
Well, we don't know.
We don't know yet.
Don't know.
Promise. We will tweet out as soon as we get it figured out because it airs in the UK on Christmas Day. We will be far-flung different places in the United States when it airs. So we will have a little bit of a difficulty. We may have to do some remotes, but we will tweet out as soon as we know when we'll be doing our AfterBuzz.
But we will do one.
Do one because believe me, for the next 5 weeks until it happens,
we're patient.
However long
please
we're going to be.
Please don't kill us.
We're all going to be chomping at the bit. I am at least.
So, all right. Well,
I think that's a Thanksgiving episode.
I know. I think it's cruel to make us wait this long.
It is cruel.
But all of our American friends think it's incredibly cruel.
But that's why I think Julian was great at this because he didn't tie everything up in this particular thing.
It's more of an American sensibility for how to end a series.
Make us wait a little bit.
He probably knew he had a fifth season coming, so he was like, oh, I got room.
That's right. I got time.
Yep.
And, you know, I also think that, you know what, I'm not wrapping it up here. Since I'm not doing a Christmas special, it's not about Christmas.
Yeah. Right.
I can just continue the story.
Yes.
Right.
I don't have to tell it. It doesn't have to be separate.
No.
It doesn't have to be different. So I think that you're smart.
It doesn't have to stand alone. So it's going to be interesting. I cannot wait.
There you go.
I cannot wait. Right. The true finale of Series 4 of Downton Abbey Christmas
Day. Well, we've had our time here. We got to get out.
Yeah.
So let's roll that music. Thank you, Stephen. All right, let's let everybody know where they can find you, Courtney.
Twitter and Instagram, Stuart Starlet.
You can find me at Tamara Berg, TamaraBerg on Twitter. Also, my website is TamaraCentral.com.
You can't find me because I will be with Gregson, and he is incommunicado.
I'm in Germany.
But you can find me here the next time we podcast, and we will talk to you next time.
Cheers.
Cheers.
We'll
Thanks for listening,
then.
Everybody.
Thanks, everybody.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the After. AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.